To have a mentor, he does about $10 billion a year in profits. He mentioned something. He said, you can't build a $10 billion company on the back of
Nigerian workers. In fact, he even said blacks. But Nigerian being that Nigerians are the smartest black people in the world. Once you say Nigerians, you've covered the entire race. And that is because of our culture, our work culture. We take time as a suggestion. That's why we have African time. Nothing is taken seriously. Every project we've ever done in any regard has always been late. When you leave your house, you are late. When you get to the bus stop, you want to take a bus. That one is less concerned about you trying to get to work early. We are not serious people. We don't take things as seriously. And it's something I feel we really need to fix. Data-driven business. You want to open a shop and you're only opening the shop because your neighbor too is selling the same thing. You don't know the market cap. You don't know the wallet share of people. You don't even know what is the most affordable thing or what's the most expensive point they can get to. And you are just coming and you're saying you want to sell. Let me give you an example. Transport business. Somebody that has gone to school, gone to university, has graduated. You say, I want to do brand. I'll set up logo. I'll do this one. I'll build a website. I want to create a business. I want to just get a bus to Jolegba bus stop. Somebody will enter. That's why Dangote only sells the business, because that is where the money is. Once you realize that if I pick 200 people and one person meets my product, then you are in the right business. But when you are, I want to serve, I want to make clothes, but I want my own to be more, guy, you're wasting your time. There's no time for that one. So that is the way I feel like we need to become in this country. My own thinking will never allow me to choose an industry, choose a business where only 2% make it. I don't see myself as super. I see myself as average. So I need to make sure I'm in an industry where the average man makes it. So once I do that, I'm most likely to succeed. I pick opening a shop in Alaba and serving Oga for 5 years, there is more than 90% chance that I'm going to be able to afford a car in the next 10 years. They said Nigeria's biggest export is the Igbo man's penis. In this same Lagos, it guarantees you that if you carry a bag of pure water to Ojolegba bus stop at 35 degrees heat in the sun at 12 noon, and for everybody that buys pure water for you and they are telling them they are mad, you still sell out before 4 o'clock. Do you understand? That is how it is. So pick something that you know you can do and push for it. I don't remember the last time I was on a train and I was like, God, please keep me safe on this trip. I don't remember, because when last the train ever seen? You need to project as somebody that knows what they are saying, because you have a better chance going to confidence class than going to technical class in making it. Because if I come to you and I tell you I've built 30 houses and I'm saying it with serious charisma, it's for you to go and check. But right now you believe me. Fortune favors the bold. You have to be bold. Zuckerberg and all their people, they've made it easy for me to access you in your house without going through security. That window to everybody's life. I have 100,000 followers plus. There is no space I know that I can put 100,000 people and they all listen to me. And these people are from different parts of life. If you have the opportunity to use the internet, use it. I come from a place of privilege, which everybody, or at least 90% of us, do. It's just that we probably are not seeing it as privilege. There is no Nigerian that doesn't have a rich uncle, unless maybe your family are taking you far away from them, or maybe your father or your mother is a bad person and they are like, let's stay away from these people. Usually there is always somebody that maybe not rich enough to give you opportunity, but might know somebody. And you too yourself, you are not entitled and you're like, it's his job as my uncle to make sure that I succeed. Success is not a good indicator of whether you've learned well or whether you know something. Failure is. It's when you fail that you say, I don't see shit. But when I wanted to enter this real estate space as a seller, I told myself that the aim is 150 no's. If I get to know number 150, I'm not doing it. So I started. So when I get the no, I just one, it didn't faze me because I knew that that was what I was going to. So with that goal in mind, I think number 16, I made a sale. When I made the sale on number 16, I'm like, now start again from one. Then we start pushing again. That was how it was. Because before I ever sold the unit for 28 million, I had not sold anything for 10 million yet. The highest I'd ever done at that point was, I think, 1.8. So when I made that boost was enough. I'm not an extrovert, but I knew I needed to be extroversial to get this thing done. Just like with social media, it took me almost a month to get comfortable speaking in front of a camera. In construction, 50% of the amount you spend on your building is just in case. It's not because you need it. You waterproof your foundation just in case water comes up. You make sure your roof is well done just in case there is a wind and you are using a better gauge of roof cover. Do you understand? You paint your walls with high quality paint just in case mold is in the area. Do you understand? You paint with more high quality stuff. You use tiles just in case you are putting a heavy thing on the floor and the tiles doesn't break. So a lot of that, I need to tell my story. And that is how I've been able to let people to understand that this is why I cost money. I don't know why they still need bureaucrats to get land information. You should be able to go on your laptop and check who owns this land where. It might be behind a paywall because you don't want anybody just harvesting the information. But at the same time, it should be something that you don't need to have a guy in Alausa. Something as serious as real estate should be in our curriculum in primary school. It should go with social studies. The same way they told us, look left, right, and left again before you cross. There should be something about use a professional when you want to build your house. Because if you are teaching us in school to prosper, then prosperity is having a home. You should know how to have it. You should not buy the home finished and discover that, I'm supposed to have contacted the Ministry of Environment to make sure I'm not in the floodplain or on the canal route. A lot of people don't know these things. And it's basic information we should know. But instead, we are learning about mitochondria.
Welcome to the Frankly Business Podcast. You know how we do it here, ladies and gentlemen. We break down business and we make you understand what is really happening. I was having a conversation with Kelechi over the weekend and we were just talking about what the objective of the Frankly Business Podcast is. And it's a mini MBA. It's a mini MBA you get from Stanford where you have to go to business school to learn from industry leaders, people who have been there and they've done that. And we bring that access to business education just at the click of a button, at a subscription of a button on YouTube, on Instagram, on TikTok, everywhere. Frankly Business Podcast produced by the Voice of the People Television, VOP, and also produced, executively produced by Voice of the People Media Group, and also produced by Kelechi himself, Kelechi Ogoke, who is my co-host, doing an amazing job. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of the Frankly Business Podcast. And this time around, who do we have on the Frankly Business Podcast, Kelechi?
Yeah, so before I go to talk about who we have, let's talk about the industry, the person operating.
Yeah.
It's valued at $3.2 trillion industry.
Wow.
So it's one of the biggest in Africa currently.
Yeah.
And it's projected to reach $7.2 trillion by 2034.
That's 2x.
Yes.
100%.
But there's a sad part about the industry.
All right.
There's no affordable homes in Nigeria.
So obviously people know the industry now.
People, it's the real estate industry. And it's so sad to see that we are having so many fine architecture going up, but we're still having 22 million deficit in terms of housing in the country. So it's the conversation I would love to have. So our guest today is no other person than Sir Folomi. Did I get it right?
Folajomi Ibrahim.
I'm still getting there. So Folajomi Ibrahim, so he's an online content creator, a real estate developer, developed almost 70 units of houses, and we're bringing him here to talk about real estate. And my first question is, why does Lagos have a housing deficit, or Nigeria as a whole?
Homes are not affordable, particularly, because if homes are more affordable, it will incentivize developers to build more. So I feel like the moment we can solve that affordability part, then a lot more people will spring into action in order to get homes to more people.
When you say homes are not affordable, what do you mean?
The income to cost is just too far. Especially when there's no option where you can, buy and pay small, so to speak.
Mortgage.
The ones, yes, exactly. The ones we have is not enough. The last one that the governor of Lagos did was about only 1% of the need that was required. And 1% doesn't really do much in terms of the grand scheme of things. So there is a lot more to be done. And we need to work on our own part too. Although it sounds very out of touch, but we need to, work on building our income. You understand? Getting more, because it's actually possible.
But we have 24 hours now. Oh, we're doing a lot of job, but it's still not.
Somebody said something that Nigerians are very, we're very busy, but less productive.
Thank you.
Yeah. So there's a lot of business, B-U-S-Y. There's a lot of business, but lots of activities, but low productivity. And so we're not actually doing the things that move the needle. we're focusing on some, we're just focusing on the non-essentials, you get. But the things that actually move the needle, the things that contribute to our GDP, we're not really paying attention to it. For instance, for businesses, things that drive sales, you get. Okay. Things that drive sales. People that are going to doing their 9 to 5, you see them go to the office, spend the entire 8 hours, sometimes 12 hours. But if you look at if you look at what they did throughout those 8 hours, did they actually put in the work throughout those 8 hours? If you measure it, and it stems from we not having to give value for our hour. We give value for the month, but we don't place value on the minute. You get that's why when you go to senior clients, you see them doing pay per week, pay per hour rather.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to spend just 2 hours, you know that those 2 hours is laser sharp focus on what you're doing, what your KPI is, what your JD is, and you're focused on that. But Nigeria, as long as you're in the office from 8, you get there early. You can just, first of all, while away time, gossip what happened over the weekend. You talk about trends. Just do a research or just do a simple experiment and find out from Nigerians.
So we're not getting.
You see somebody go to their shop, spend an entire day just sitting down. No engineering to drive sales. Sitting down and hoping that people come.
They actually do.
Yes,
but it's non-productive. I'm a Muslim,
yeah,
but I'm not a Muslim to the point where I rely solely on prayer to get things done. You see people sit down in their shops and they just pray and look for the best. And that is not a tactic. I traveled to China last 2 months. And there was something I noticed with my partner when we traveled. And it was, these people, they worship idols. And their country is growing. And we, that the religion was even brought to us, we are terrible at, you know, moving the needle, as you said. So I would say we are not productive. That's one. Then two, I have a mentor. He does about 10 billion a year in profits.
In profit.
Very, very big boy. Yeah. Mm. He mentioned something. He said, you can't build a $10 million company, $10 billion company on the back of Nigerian workers. It's not possible.
On the back of?
Nigerian workers.
Ooh.
In fact, he even said blacks. But Nigerian being that Nigerians are the smartest black people in the world.
Yeah.
Once you say Nigerians, you've covered the entire race.
Yeah.
So, and that is because of our culture, our work culture. We take time as a suggestion. That's why we have African time. Nothing is taken seriously.
Every project we've ever done in any regard has always been late. When you leave your house, you are late. When you get to the bus stop, you want to take a bus. That one is less concerned about you trying to get to work early. You know, everything about us is just
system.
It's not, we are not serious people. We don't take things as seriously, and it's something I feel we really need to fix.
How? Sorry to cut you.
We know all our problems. Tell us, Angerita. Now the solution is very simple. But simple as it is hard. You need to become a different person in order to enjoy the benefits that those people enjoy. It's that simple. When you go to gatherings like that, you talk with people like that, you know they don't think the way the average man thinks. Let me give you an example. I do my development on the mainland. One of my mentors is on the island. He has projects in Ikoyi, he has projects in VI, he has projects in Lekki Phase 1. So I was not like, I spoke to his friend because I didn't talk to him directly. I was like, I want to expand to Ikoyi and Lekki, but I'm worried that I might offend my mentor because I'm already entering his territory. The guy looked at me and said, you are a fool. He said, am I the only developer sitting on this table? I said, no. All these guys, they are my competition too. But we are here to have fun. When we get to our offices, we'll strategize on how to beat each other. This has nothing to do with sentiment. And if you think that way, you don't belong here. And that is an example of that type of thinking that these people have. They don't, when you
sit around them and you're mentioning Nigeria's problems and you're saying it with a pitiful, hey, Nigeria is hard type of feeling, they'll just carry their phone and they start pressing because they know that, what do you want to be saying to this one? That is not what they want to hear. If you say Nigeria has a problem, you are saying that statement with an opportunity statement following it, that this is what we can do to actually tap into this. And when you are doing business, you are doing data-driven business. You want to open a shop and you're only opening the shop because your neighbor too is selling the same thing. You don't know the market cap. You don't know the wallet share of people. You don't even know what is the most affordable thing or what's the most expensive point they can get to. And you are just coming and you're saying you want to sell. It's just, let me give you an example, transport business. Somebody that has gone to school, gone to university, has graduated, you say, ah, I want to do brand. I'll set up logo. I'll do this one. I'll create a website. I want to create a business. I want to just get a bus to Joliet Bar bus stop. Somebody will enter. Do you understand? You don't need to. Do you understand? It's when you are thinking to, that's why Dangote only sells the basics. Really? Because that is where the money is. Once you realize that if I pick 200 people and one person needs my product, then you are in the right business. But when you are, I want to serve, I want to make clothes, but I want my own to be more, guy, you're wasting your time. You understand? There's no time for that one. So that is the way I feel like we need to become in this country. When you take a trade, in construction, maybe only 1% or 2% of the guys I work with take pride in their profession. A lot of them are just there because they are hungry. Or that is what they just have to do for now until they blow. Do you understand? And that's the mentality, I want to blow. Me, my own thinking will never allow me to choose an industry, choose a business where only 2% make it, 3%. I don't see myself as super. I see myself as average. So I need to make sure I'm in an industry where the average man makes it. So once I do that, I'm most likely to succeed. I pick opening a shop in Alaba and serving Oga for 5 years. There's more than 90% chance that I'm going to be able to afford a car in the next 10 years. And not just a car, a house, and be able to go to China, go to Turkey, go to Dubai. You know, as they said,
yeah.
Can I be profane?
Yes, why not?
They said the Nigeria's biggest export is the Igbo man's penis. You understand? They go everywhere. Do you understand? And that is the thing. They are that entrepreneur.
True.
Do you understand? And the Yoruba man is very accommodating. So for that reason, we work well together. And that's why Lagos is the melting pot for know everyone.
Very true.
Now, in this same Lagos, it guarantees you that if you carry a bag of pure water to Ojolegba bus stop at 35 degrees heat in the sun at 12 noon, and for everybody that buys pure water for you and they are telling them they are mad, you still sell out before 4 o'clock. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That is how it is.
True, true.
So pick something that you know you can do and push for it. You see these people that they hawk things, and some will just be hawking and they'll be passing and you just be like, you do not even notice. But there are some that they are singing. There was a time I was in Eco Market.
Yeah.
And this is not, I'm not trying to be tribalistic or anything, but
yeah,
this is just the joke as it is. There's one guy, he's a Yoruba guy.
Yeah.
They call him Omo Igbo because he looks like an Igbo guy.
Okay.
So anytime the lady that is passing is selling, she's selling locust beans, Iru, you know it smells.
Yeah.
So she comes in and starts shouting, Kilo, what is smelling? She will now say, Omo Igbo Lorun. Do you understand? And that is the joke. So when you laugh like that and you notice what is going on, she has created visibility.
Yeah.
That is the core marketing. So the rest is for her to land sales. Do you understand?
People must see you to buy from you.
Do you understand? So once those things are done, it's not just doing something and hoping for the best. You are most likely to sell. You are most likely to grow. And that is the thing. I don't remember the last time I was on a plane and no, on a train and I was like, God, please keep me safe on this trip. I don't remember because when last the train have accident? Do you understand?
True.
So that's the same way if you set yourself on a path that is guaranteed for success, you just pray to cover the spiritual path. The rest, it will happen. See the man diligent in the duty. I'm not a Muslim.
Yeah.
But that saying was in front of our staff room and we pass there from the assembly ground to class every day in secondary school. So that saying has stuck with me for a very, very long time. And once you are diligent in what you do, you are strategic, and you don't say, hey, this thing is not for me, or all those, I'm a morning person, I'm an evening person, you are already cutting yourself. Do you understand? A part of a conversation I had with my mentor on, was it Thursday or Saturday? And I was mentioning that finance has been a problem for me in my business, that I don't really understand finance. I looked at me and was like, I go to Paris every 3 weeks and I'm studying international law. Do you think I want to study international law? No. But I need to know international law to move to my to the next step I am in my journey, because I want to expand to other countries. So apart from employing the people that will get you the things you need, you're going to need to understand what they are. You understand? The whole point of a CEO is to be the chief vision officer. You understand? You are the one that sees the entire dream. Now you know enough to be able to say, now let me employ somebody to be doing the operational part of it. You think about marketing. I can market, but let me free my 24 hours or my 18 hours. You go and worry about marketing. You, your job is the operations of the day to day. I can do it too, but go and worry about it. That's the level you have to get to as a person before you say, ah, I've done all the things I have to do. My village people are after me.
So if I want to touch on two things. One would be sales.
Thank you for that, girl.
Because I feel like our university did us a disservice and is still doing us a disservice, because we copy the Western curriculum a lot, but it doesn't also fit into the Nigerian reality. It has to also do with our governance and policies. Africa will copy a lot of Western policies.
That's right.
If World Bank said do it, we do it. If IMF do it, and we end up getting a leadership that is disconnected from the people or the suffering from the people. And the same has gotten to education. Our education is disconnected from the reality of the average Nigerian guy. Are you leaving school? The first thing you have to do is to sell. Either you're selling yourself through job interview, or you're picking up a hustle to sell, or you're going to learn trade. If I want to become one of the best salespeople in the country, what do I have to do?
I think first of all, you never stop learning. You've heard it before.
Yeah.
You need to become empathetic, understanding what the people you are trying to sell to, what is their problem. You've heard that before. You need to project as somebody that knows what they are saying, because you have a better chance going to confidence class than going to technical class in making it. Because if I come to you and I tell you I've built 30 houses and I'm saying it with serious charisma, it's for you to go and check. But right now you believe me. Then I'm saying it as, do you understand? Fortune favors the bold. You have to be bold. Me, I'm not of the strategy of going around and making sales. Zuckerberg and all their people, they've made it easy for me to access you in your house without going through security. You understand? That window to everybody's lives. I still cannot put, okay, I have 100,000 followers plus. There is no space I know that I can put 100,000 people and they all listen to me. You understand? And these people are from different parts of life. If you have the opportunity to use the internet, use it. Before the advent of videos for social media, there were only websites. There is a man called Omonile Lawyer. You might not know him. He has a website. Anybody that wanted to buy land on the island at that time, Aja, Epe, Sangote, do all those things, that's who they go to. I'm sure what he knows is not more than what the average, the good property lawyer knows. But because he's able to tell his story, share his experiences, it gives him a better opportunity to be in people's mind, so that when that problem comes up for them, they can come to him. And that's one thing that sales gets you. Yeah, that's one thing building yourself gets you towards sales. To sell, you have to not be selling and be selling at the same time. Because right now, we are all selling. because we are creating a perception in people's minds. But at the same time, you can't come off as salesy. So, as I said before, charisma, that is being bold, learning your, knowing your things. Because if you are bold to that point and you cannot back it up with technical skills, you are in trouble. When they ask you that, what is the average land size in Ikoyi, and you are saying, it's like two square meters. Anybody that hears that already know you are mentally disturbed. So, you need to know your things. You need to know your shit. That's the right word to use.
Yeah.
You need to have to be bold, and you need to have integrity. I feel like with those three covered, with you learning all the time, you are covered. The rest is for you to assemble the team that will now become the sales force to conquer anything.
Let us talk about you. There's a bit of a conundrum. And how do I mean? You talked about internet. And at the same time, you talked about going grassroots, where the man who is thinking of starting up his transport company should not be thinking about having a website, opening a page on Instagram. Just go to a dry labor. I'm quoting you. People will rush your bus. But at the same time, you're coming from an angle of internet as well. So, because yes, it's easy to always say that you can go online and make sales and do that. But the truth of the matter, there are some businesses that might not thrive online.
Definitely.
There are some businesses that sales might not thrive online. And I agree. Yes. There are some businesses like real estate. Real estate might thrive online, but to close it, it has to be physical because it's very highly, it's very capital intensive. Yes. You can't see somebody online that says it sells private jets. And you say send account details. You can't. Do you get my point? There are some of all these bourgeoisies, the men who control economies. Some of these men are not online. I tell you the truth.
They have somebody online for them.
They have somebody online for them. And the person online for them might not even be the decision maker.
Exactly.
So let's also find that balance of... Yes, we push online. That's why you see people, when they think of business, the first thing they're thinking is branding. And they forget about the market. They forget about the actual act of getting your hands dirty. You get. So we need to find that balance. And what's your idea about getting that balance?
Both have to be running concurrently.
Okay.
If, as you said, it's business dependent.
Yeah.
If you are selling popcorn, face your offline and PL bed. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It depends on the business you are pushing for or the business you are actually doing. But for me, I would always say do both. Offline first. Because first, how do you know the market is available? Do you understand? How do you know you're actually good at the sales thing? If you make one mistake on offline, just move to the next customer. You use that as your, way to learn, to understand what is actually going on. And it's, as I said, business dependent. Especially when you are doing business to business. If Microsoft is trying to sell their ERP to 7up, they are not going to put it on the internet. They are going to send somebody to 7up to go and see what's going on. And depending as well on the type of business you are doing, you need to know exactly how to go about it. So there is no one size fits all. It depends on what business you are in.
70 units. How did you start from 1 to 70?
I'll say it's simple, but it is not. And I would also say, if I'm being truthful, is that I come from a place of privilege, which everybody, or at least 90% of us do. It's just that we probably are not seeing it as privilege. You understand? There's no Nigerian that doesn't have a rich uncle. Unless maybe your family are taking you far away from them. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Or maybe your father or your mother is a bad person and they're like, let's stay away from these people. Usually there is always somebody that...
And we are very communal. Yeah.
Maybe not rich enough to give you opportunity, but might know somebody. And you too yourself, you are not entitled and you're like, it's his job as my uncle to make sure that I succeed. Do you understand? I've seen people that tell their father that I've graduated school now, he'd not even buy me a car. You understand? So, but from my own journey, I started out definitely working. for people serving Oga, as they say. And I've always been, as I mentioned before, diligent in what I do. I don't ever see the money when I'm working. My aim is to be indispensable. I want to be at the point where if they don't see me, they are worried that the business might have problems. That's the person I always, that's the aim I always push for. And that's the flip side of that is that I'll need to have a boss that actually values what I do. Because if you go all out and they are not seeing you, or they don't care, or they don't value it, then there's a problem. So I've always been privileged to have people that care about me enough to say, this boy, you don't try. Make me push you go this place. You understand? So that's why I'll say success is not a good indicator of whether you've learned well or whether you know something. It's failure. It's when you fail that you say, ah, I don't see shege. It's just like when you want to graduate school and there's no issue. They give you your graduation letter, there's no problem. But then they tell you that they did convocation, they printed book, and your name is not inside. That's when you know where SNA buildings. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So that a lot, I would say I've had my own share of failure, but not enough failure to kill my spirit to say I'm not doing it again. Because anytime I enter something new, for example, when I wanted to enter this real estate space as a seller, I told myself that the aim is 150 no's. If I get to no number 150, I'm not doing it again. So I started. So when I get the no, I just one, it didn't faze me because I knew that was where I was going to. So with that goal in mind, I think number 16, I made a sale.
So for me, your ratio is 16-1.
I can't say
16-1. Yes. So I love that. Continue.
So when I made the sale on number 16, I'm like, now start again from one. Then we start pushing again. That was how it was, and that sale was enough guarantee because. Before I ever sold a unit for 28 million, I had not sold anything for 10 million yet. The highest I'd ever done at that point was, I think, 1.8. So when I made that boost was enough because I did everything they told me to do. Learn this one, know this one, go out,
what
speak.
Were the things?
Learn what you are selling.
Okay.
You understand? When you learn what you are selling, project confidence. When project confidence, what was the last thing? Listen actively to know what they are saying and what they are not saying. Then tailor whatever you are saying to that pain point or that pleasure point. The guy that ever bought from me for the first time, he wanted to pepper his friends. Do you understand? That was the aim. So he didn't say it directly, but you could tell from, you know, minor cues. And when I got home, I prepared the presentation, not physical, but mental, to know that, when I reach this guy, I'll just start showing him things. See, if you give your madam this kitchen, I will tell you, confirm, no problem. You can put your television here, you can put this light, see this place, you can put smart home. When they enter like you just say, Alexa, you know, things like that. And the guy was like, he didn't believe me because I was looking hungry. But he was like, this guy don't work. One, two, this guy is making sense. The only thing that was left was, if I give this guy a buy, go wrong. So the last thing I needed to do was to look for an affiliation that was going to guarantee that I was more, you know,
trustworthy.
Yeah. So what did I do? I invited somebody and I said, see, I will give you so, so and so. And you know, from the past, you know that they give you money, I don't run away, I don't have smart, I don't steal money.
Yeah.
So you need to stand and say this project to your hand. You understand? And when I was to go for the next meeting, I said, you'll be glad to know that me and these people were partnering on this project. And that was all. Once I made the first sale, I said, go and sit down first. The commission I promised you I'll give you, don't worry. The rest was, I've sold this unit. If you want to buy, buy. If you don't want to buy, leave them.
True.
You understand? Because the boost was already there. Then was just like a proof of, can I do it? And yes, I could do it. Then along the line, I stay having nose, which is normal, maybe because there's no fit between what they wanted and what I was selling. But generally, a lot became easier from them.
So let's break it down. Eh?
Okay.
Some people feel like, I will just ask this question. How did the contact get access to you? Because people feel like, Nigeria.
No, we are a very classy society.
Yeah.
They would, what is not, how would I put it? Is a friend of an uncle's friend.
Okay.
Do you understand? The way I would not, I'm not an extrovert, but I knew I needed to be extroversial to get this thing done. Just like with social media, it took me almost a month to get comfortable speaking in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. You understand? I had a lot of work I needed to put in. Sometimes I'll stay at the camera for three whole hours, just be looking, talking. She knows now. She remembers. So I put a whole lot of effort into making that possible. But about the first contact thing you ask, is a friend of a friend of a friend. So I try to put myself in gatherings that I don't belong, because I knew I needed to be there to access those things. And how did I get there? The uncle did not directly say, this is my son or this is my boy. You know, I saw the man, I was like, sir, this is your house. It's looking very, you know, but you know what you need? A photo of so-so and so here. Then I remembered I had the friend that was a photographer. I took a drone shot of Marina. So I just told him that, give me the photo. He didn't even charge me money. So I took the photo. I printed a very large, something like a very large photo, and I dropped it in the house. So when he saw it, he was like, ah, wow. Automatically, in his mind, he owed me. So anything I said after that was, let me shall look for something to make this boy happy, because he don't try. So I put something forward. As Yorubas would say, oh, do me see waju.
Yeah.
I pour water on the ground so that I can match cold water.
True.
So that is another thing, because I knew when I was doing it, I wasn't actually doing it for my own benefit. But I knew that making this man happy would one way or the other give me happiness. Maybe not directly through him, but through whatever he does, things like that. And I've also learned, and I now understand why a lot of people join clubs in formal spaces, because it cuts through a lot of red tape in order to access those people. For example, if you meet a two-star general now, you are more likely to meet him at a party, a club, a gathering, a tennis club, than you are meeting him at the office. And guess what? He's half drunk, so he'll be talking. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it's you that you'll be sipping a cranberry when he's drinking NSC, because you want to be hearing. Do you understand? So that way I've been able to, so I don't go out trying to, it's not a hunt, so to speak, it's a discovery. So that way, that was how I've been able to put my first rope. Then when I started in that space, I had a problem, which was because all these babas, all these men knew each other, they were basically controlling me. For like, why are you charging me 5 million profit? We've looked at this thing now. Can't you do 2.5? So instead of making 5 million on a 25 million naira, a 30 million naira development over the course of 18 months, you are stuck with 2.5 million. Inside that 2.5, you are going to pay your site manager, you are going to pay your staff, you are going to pay security. You know, at the end of the day, you build a project of 500 million and you are taking 14 million naira home. After 18 months, that's not even up to 1 million a month. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it's very, very. So I decided that, okay, how do I break into a new space? Welcome to the internet. Let us see how we can share our story. And the problem I always had was I build high quality structures and I was not willing to compromise, because my mentors, the guys that taught me, they. My mentor is so bad that if he comes to your site and he spots something that is of low quality, you just not see him again. You just, what happened? You are the one that will now start tracing what would have been the problem. You will not even come to you and say, Fola, I saw that you were using this iron that might most likely collapse in 5 years. No, he will just be on his own. Sir, How far? I've not heard from me in a while. Oh, no, I'm fine. Nothing. You know, that is how a person is. So those are the type of people that I learned from. So for that reason, my standard is very high. So I knew a problem that I knew I had back then that I knew what I was able to solve was airlines. When I was to first travel, I traveled by Egypt Air because I was shopping by price. So when I went on Egypt Air, was it Egypt? No. Ethiopian.
Okay, Ethiopian.
When I went on Ethiopian Air, I was like, this thing is not that bad, but it's terrible. So it's not comfortable. They will tell you, they ask you, do you want chicken or beef? You say chicken. They say, no, chicken has finished, only beef. Why did you not ask me? So the experience was, I'm not trying to say it was bad, but it was on par with the amount they were charging. So when I was to fly again, I flew with my mom, went Qatar. That woman can, she's an advocate for Qatar. So when we went on Qatar, first of all, more leg room, more food options. If you're even hungry after you're taking your first meal, tell them, bring food again. You answer you. Do you understand? It was more comfortable. Their layover, when we were to layover in Qatar, they gave us a room, food, you know, all those things. And I'm not like, all this experience for extra 150,000, I will pay the money. Do you understand? And that's when I understood that if I'm just marketing myself as two-bedroom apartment, three-bedroom apartment, fourth-bedroom terrace. Everybody don't look at, this one is selling 50, 50, 50. Why is this one selling 60? So I knew I needed to come up and tell my story as to why I was more expensive. So I needed to take people through that journey of, this is why this apartment is cheap and this is why you should not want it. This is why I'm expensive and this is why it would be a better option. Because in construction, 50% of the amount you spend on your building is just in case. It's not because you need it. You waterproof your foundation just in case water comes up. You make sure your roof is hard, well done just in case there's a wind and you are using a better gauge of roof cover. Do you understand? You paint your walls with high quality paint just in case mold is in the area. Do you understand? You paint with more high quality stuff. You use tiles just in case you are putting a heavy thing on the floor and the tiles doesn't break. Do you understand? So a lot of that I need to tell my story. And that is how I've been able to let people to understand that this is why I cost more.
Frank,
yeah.
I think President Tinubu need to give us medal. You know what? I'll explain. Just for bounce though.
Yeah.
We'll bring in Nigerian excellence to your podcast to come and teach other Nigerians how to be excellent.
Very true.
Are you getting me?
Yeah.
We are doing things that move the needle. No, but look at it. We have brought in Nduka Akpabi,
yeah,
who spoke about him building his startup from just two employees to having over 90 employees.
Yeah.
In the same Nigeria. We have brought in Coach Nancy, who spoke about having 8 sites, taking a loan of 40 million and paying it back in this same Nigeria.
True.
So we are bringing in him now, and he has gone from having one building to 70 buildings in this same Nigeria.
70 housing units.
Housing units, yeah. Sorry. 70 buildings. 70 housing units in this same Nigeria. That goes to shows that, to show that there's prosperity here.
Yeah, there is actually.
It's not, there it's is. Not the 1% telling you, oh, you have to be rich and there's prosperity here. So moving on.
Yeah.
I watched a documentary yesterday in when I was doing my research for this podcast in an Indian TV station called First Post. You know what they call Lagos? The collapse capital of Africa. The collapse capital of Africa. Why?
Policies. Policies. I feel if we had... Let me give you an example. There's this guy, I can't remember his name, on Instagram. He mentioned something. He said, you are on the road driving. There's no lights at all on the road. And all you have is your headlamps. You can't see that far forward. All you can see is the next thing in front of you. For that reason, would you stop moving? The answer would be no. You have to move. But guess what? If the government puts street light there, you move much faster. That's the same thing with policies. If there are policies in place, a lot of things will work better. For example, I don't know why we still need bureaucrats to get land information. You should be able to go on your laptop and check who owns this land where? Do you understand? It might be behind a paywall because you don't want anybody just harvesting the information. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? But at the same time, it should be something that you don't need to have a guy in Alausa for that will tell you bring money. If the money was even going to the government coffers, it's even better. It's not. It's going to that guy's pocket. And at the end of the day, it's to nobody's. It doesn't grow the economy.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So I feel a lot of things should be easier. They are just not. Another issue we have is education. Something as serious as real estate should be in our curriculum in primary school. It should go with social studies. The same way they told us, cross, look left, right, and left again before you cross. It should be some. There should be something about use a professional when you want to build your house. Go through this particular, because if you are teaching us in school to prosper, then prosperity is having a home. You should know how to have it. You should not buy the home finish and discover that I'm supposed to have contacted the Ministry of Environment to make sure I'm not in the floodplain or on the canal route. I'm supposed to contact. A lot of people don't know these things, and it's basic information we should know. But instead, we are learning about mitochondria. Please, when has mitochondria benefited you?
So, can we now damage the ignorance of a lot of people not knowing what it takes? And I want us to break it down to make it really basic, because you see a couple of Nigerians, hard-earned money, they end up building their some people is even their first property, mm-hmm. and it's on floodplain, demolished. You're not only demolishing somebody's building, you're demolishing a part of the GDP you get. You're demolishing an asset for somebody. And that in itself has a ripple effect, though negative, in the general macroeconomic economy. So we need to really understand this. An average Nigerian does not know what it takes to get a building permit. Walk us through those steps, starting from when I first see the advert to buy a plot of land.
Okay.
What are the things I should do?
So if you are seeing an advert to buy a plot of land, you are probably buying from a developer. Because of money, they will not put, use their money to do adverts.
Yeah.
So, my best approach is usually to go through a realtor. And the reason why I say so is because they have more information than you. You might think you are getting a deal because you saw one property in the newspaper that they are selling so and so amount for so and so. Is that realtor now maybe more expensive? You understand? And that is guaranteed. That we are talking about a good realtor now, because like every profession in this country, 20% are good, 80% are bad. So, but let's assume you are going through, you know, the newspaper advert, you find it. The first thing you need to do, contact them and ask them, what papers do you have? If at that moment they tell you that they just give you, they are not clear on what they have,
mm-hmm.
then just move on to the next person. Because if they can't give you information, how do you vet the information they have? Now, let's assume they tell you their title is Excision in Progress, for example. For me, I would say don't buy that property.
What's Excision in Progress?
Let me explain. When the government acquired, under the Land Use Act, the governor owns most of the land in Lagos. Then there's now a portion of that land.
The that governor or the government?
The governor.
Who
because
that
land use
is
act,
the
seat of the governor, not the guy, the governor.
Oh, okay.
The seat of the governor.
Okay.
Yes. He can't do as he likes because there's a house of this thing.
He can actually do as he likes.
Let's assume he cannot. There are checks and balances
house
in place.
House of what?
You have House of Reps now.
In states.
You know
House of Rep or just,
I mean, state of House of Assembly.
Just huge.
let's leave that part. It's vested in the hands of the governor.
Okay.
To do as best for the state. You understand?
Okay.
So under acquisition, there are two types. There is the acquisition that is just normal acquisition. Then there's the one that is committed. If it's committed acquisition, that means the government is government owned by default, and they figured out what they want to use it for. But when it's not committed, it means by law it belongs to the government, but it's like me inheriting 16 plots of land from my father, one plot in every different part of Lagos. I know it's there, it's my own, but I have not figured out what I want to use it for. So the community applies for an excision. no one person can apply to be for their property to be excised. Excision is to cut out something. Mm-hmm. So when you get excision, the excision is given to the community. It's back to Omonile. So when a developer tells you that excision in progress, first of all, what's the guarantee that the excision will be successful? Do you understand? There's no guarantee that the government is going to release it. Then when they do release it, they are not releasing it to the developer. They are releasing it to the community.
Hmm.
So if you as a developer are watching this, excise finish before you start to reset. Don't carry people on, I have a dream. And when the thing fails, you'll not be telling them sorry. Do you understand? People worked hard for this money. So when the excision is successful, then you can now pursue whatever is left to perfecting your documentation. So let's assume you have a good document. You get your survey, or you the developer has a good document. You take your surveyor and your lawyer to investigate. The surveyor's job is to take that coordinate to make sure that the coordinates that is in the portion of land the developer wants to sell is equal to the coordinates he has and claims is the one that is selling it. One. Two, they go to Alausa to go and confirm that this land belongs to that person.
Alausa is very big.
Yes, lands.
Okay.
Yes. There's a
department.
Lands, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So department one, of what? What's the action?
I don't know, but they generally are called lands. Because,
okay, lands.
Lands. So they are not inside the main Alausa proper.
Okay.
They are Landsborough.
Landsborough, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Once you Google them, they have a website. So you go to lands, or your surveyor helps you to go to lands. Then they check. The reason why I say your surveyor is because you might not have all the details and you might not be willing to learn. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So they take their beacon numbers, they take all that information, the coordinates, and they go there, they go and confirm. Once the surveyor says, this land is one, not under acquisition. Two, it belongs to that person that says it belongs to, and it is where they said it is. Then surveyor, go and sit down one side. Then the lawyer, check probate courts. Is there case there? Check for litigation. Check for AMCON loan. Check for this, check for that. They check all the records they can have access to check whether there is no case on the land. Now they need to check for legitimacy. This developer, prove the origin of your ownership. There has to be documentation.
Yeah.
It's not word of mouth. You bought it from this family. Okay, where is the deed of assignment? Signed by the head of that family. Because if somebody in the family signs it but it's not the head, then there's no point. Unless there's a document from that family saying we have nominated and agreed that this guy is going to be signing on our behalf, although he's not the head of the family. Maybe because the head of the family is on drugs or something. Cannot be, you understand? So sometimes that happens. So documentation has to be there. Then that family, how it be on our own? Do you understand? Is it that your family's family settled there in 1735 or 1845? Do you understand? What is your proof of ownership to that land? If they can now establish that, then it is good enough to start working on it. When sale is transferred, a deed of assignment, not receipt, is the only thing that can transfer. When it's transferred and there is a C of O, there is a section of the deed of assignment that says the governor consents to this sale. That is what is called governor's consent. That document is now signed by the governor. Obviously, it's not going to be someone who will sign it, but the office of the governor is going to stamp it and say this thing has been. Do you understand? So once that is done, you have governor's consent. And then you have to do a survey of that portion of land, because developers selling land on TV is not going to sell one plot. He's selling many plots. So you are the one that is going to. Sometimes they elect to do it because they want to make that extra money on documentation again. Sometimes they leave it for you to do it. So you do your own survey and cut out, they cut out your own portion for you and say, this is it. Then it will carry your name, Frank. You know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So,
Fagbo.
Yeah, exactly. And it needs to be signed by the Surveyor General's office. That is the only time it carries with. That's why when somebody comes and I ask them, they say they've done survey, and I ask them how much did they say 50,000. It's not possible. Survey is more expensive than that.
How much?
It depends on the area, but a 500 square meter plot cannot be less than 500,000. If it is less than that, then something was not done. Because Nigerian Institute of Surveyors published a document
that shows the prices that they should do. I don't know how much of that price is their profit. I have no clue. I'm not a surveyor. But the general rule of thumb in developed areas of Lagos, not the Ekpe, I'm not sure about that, those amounts, is usually over 500,000. So once that is done, it's verified. Your lawyer can tell a surveyor that is not good. Then the surveyor should produce his NIS certification. He needs to be able to tell you or prove to you that I am a registered surveyor. Because when Katakata busts, you need to be able to report him to the agency and they seize his license. Then anywhere he works is labeled a quack. Every single professional that went through the process of building and getting that certification will not play with it. So that gives you some sort of peace of mind. So your lawyer makes sure that there's no issue legally, and your surveyor makes sure that where they are selling to you is correct. So whatever you are getting, you are going to get a survey and a document that proves that you are now the owner. Now, that survey, that document, Lagos State is going to ask of it from you to confirm that this approval that I want to give you, it is for you. Then the survey also shows the boundaries of your land. That boundary is what you give to the architect, because you can't tell the architect that you want 3-bedroom flats and your land is not big enough to do 3-bedroom.
Yeah.
Or if it's going to do 3-bedroom, the room is going to be smaller than a cubicle because your land is small. Or you are the type that says, I want to do investment property. I want to do 20 flats. But your whole building cannot take more than 4 flats. So that survey is going to guide the architect, which is also supposed to be registered, not a 200-level student. a survey, an architect. So now, the architect draws for you. When he takes that information, you do a soil test. A geotechnical engineer comes to your site. The reason why we do this is because even in your bill of quantities, that is the document that a quant surveyor I mentioned surveyor.
Yeah.
That surveyor is the land surveyor. That one surveys the land. There's a quant surveyor. That one surveys your quantities. Ooh. That's how much exactly would it cost to build your house. That's how many cements, how many blocks, how many buckets of paint. They do that based on experience and calculation. For example, this bucket now, if I fill it with 10 liters of water, I now know based on a calculation that this liter is equal to this amount of cubic meter of concrete, for example.
Yeah.
Then from that, I can, using the ratio the structural engineer suggested, I can, maybe it's 1 cement, 1.5 sand, and 3 granites. I can, based on the volume, the volume of each material, estimate how much bags of cement, how many this thing will fill that space.
True.
That is their job. So that quant surveyor is going to do a rough calculation for you to have an idea of, can I carry this project? So that you will now finish doing approval, finish and realize that this thing should not cost more than 5 million. And at the end of the day, it's 15 million. Based on what you said, where you said one guy mentioned that it's 5 million. You now can't carry yourself. Go and do 5 million. At the end of the day, you do 5 million.
That guy went viral one time.
of course, now. That's how information will go viral, because a lot of people don't believe it. So they are trying to share with their friends to confirm, is this true? Is this true? Is this true?
So, okay, so the guy was saying that he could build a 2-bedroom apartment for 5 million naira. He said it late last year, and the story went viral. People were asking, they were calling. They were asking the guy that, please, can you help me? Please, can you help me? And people were ready to even bet. There was a particular developer that said he's ready to build, that the guy should come to Abuja, he's ready to build 100 units.
If he can do it.
If he can do it. Mm. And he's putting the bets up front for him to do one.
Mm. How did it go?
He got the virality of the movement.
Yes, he just got the virality of the movement. But
we didn't see anybody
back it up with facts. There was no follow-up validation that showed that,
show that it's possible.
Yes.
Because you just can't.
Interesting.
The type of blocks you use, if you leave them, it will scatter. So you can't even use them.
So let us talk about how much it costs. Because now he said 5 million. Let's say the middle class is shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still a middle class? Sorry.
Is there still a middle class? That's a valid question, sir.
Upper, lower class.
You are just pampering the situation.
You are either rich or poor.
The rich and the poor.
The haves and the haves not.
The have exactly. And the have not.
And so, have a little.
I just did.
Exactly. Okay, so now, what does it cost? On the average, not a prime location, not too much of a suburb, but on the average, a decent, what's the top demand units we have in this country? I think it's two bed. So an average two bed, what do you think it will cost with your experience? Bungalow.
Okay.
You already have the land.
Yes, you already have the land. You are not average approval for a two-bedroom apartment will cost you around 700,000.
Thank you for that. Average approval for a two-bedroom apartment, 700,000. If they tell you to get your approval for 250K, run.
You cannot do it.
You heard it from here.
You cannot do it. So, about that amount, if you've not been paying tax, you pay another 1 million. So, if you are tax compliant, let's waive the 1 million. Let's assume you are a responsible citizen of Nigeria.
Yeah.
So,
which you are not.
Only 10% pay tax.
So, let's start with foundations. Let's assume the floor area is 10 meters by 10 meters. The average slab in Nigeria is going to be 150 mm thick. That's 0.515 meters. So, 100 times 100 times 0.15, that's 15. At the average cost of a good quality concrete of 100,000, that's already 1.5 million. Am I getting it right?
Yeah.
Yes, 1.5.
Yeah.
So to do your oversized concrete, your ground floor slab, your German floor, 1.5. Only concrete. That doesn't count labor. The reinforcement that is going to be inside, you run 10 mm across 12 mm or 12 mm across 12 mm, depending on the engineer's design. There's no way you won't use at least 1 ton. But let's assume that your engineer is maybe Jesus Christ and is able to find a way to help you to make it work. Maybe based on prayer, gather some, you know, you're able to do half a ton. That's still 700,000. Let's say you are now a useless person and you're using bad quality steel. That's still 600,000. Do you understand? So we're already at 1.5 plus 600. That's already 2.1. Yeah, and we are still on the floor. Let's assume the bricklayers are free because they are for your family members. You don't pay them. Abi. You still buy sand. Okay. You still buy sand. You still buy blocks. Averagely, you should use at least 1,000 blocks. Good blocks, if you are beside the sand where they buy sand, maybe at Ibishi or maybe Mowi, that's where you are building, where sand will not be expensive because the major cost of sand is the transporting the sand.
Okay.
So, a lot, the cost of pumping it out and getting it to you might not be that much. So, let's assume you are buying a truck of sand that me, I buy at 270,000, you are buying at 50,000. So you still buy at least two sand. That's 100,000. Cement. Even if you are buying, we get cement 5,000, come carry on for night. You know that type of cement. You want that. You understand? Even if you are still buying that one, you still buy 200 bags. Do you understand? So 5,000 times 200, that's 1 million.
True.
We're already at 3.3 million.
Yeah.
Now you set your blocks. You've plastered. What is next? You are supposed to do your roof beams. You are supposed to do your columns. Let's assume you are building in Enugu where the ground is so good, you might not even need to use columns.
Or Ikorodu.
Or Ikorodu, exactly. Your building is solid. Your engineer was able to use load-bearing walls to carry your building. You understand? Now you get to your roof. 1 3x4 that you use for your roof, one is 5,000 naira. The minimum you see. And that's me being very lenient. The wood that I normally buy is around 9,000 and 8,000. So let's assume you are seeing wood for 5,000 because I don't want the people that will say, hey, I can see cheaper. Let's be the cheapest way possible, the impossibly type of cheap. You are still going to buy wood at least 500,000. Because you buy wood, you buy nails, you saw the wood, you use carpenters. If your carpenter is being lenient, you still collect 100,000 from your hand to do the roof. Now we go to roof cover. Shingles are more expensive. So we'll go for long span aluminium.
Yeah.
Let's assume you are doing the cheapest type of roof. You are doing skillon roof. That's those roofs that used to fly up the building. There's no parapet wall. It's just all over the place so that you don't spend too much money. That one is still about 6,000 naira per square meter. And on a 100 square meter building, let's assume there's no off cut. There's no waste. They are not doing eaves. They're not doing anything. 100 square meters. If you are going to do a roof on a 100 square meter building, you are going to do a roof of at least 10% more. Because the roof is supposed to be more than the building. So let's assume 110 square meters. 110 square meters times 6,000. That's 660,000.
Wait, what is calculation? Can 9 to 5 own a home? in this country.
No, we need if there are mortgage facilities, if there are, and we actually do something about, I don't want to say the government again. You understand? I feel like if we work well enough that we're even attractive to foreign markets, our local employers will be forced to employ, to increase our cost, our income. Mm. Do you understand?
We're not attractive to the foreign market like this.
We are not. Why? We are not. We simply don't take work as seriously as other people do. When I was in Dubai and I was at the construction site, the guys that were working there, definitely non-Emirati, because those guys, they don't work. The guys that were working, at no point did I see them gisting. There was no side talk. They were working throughout. When I was in China and I went to a factory to go and see some other things I could acquire to come and use in Nigeria. Those guys were face down, almost as if their necks would not come up. But the minute it was 12 noon, the one that was carrying something just left it and walked out. Because their lunch is their lunch and their work is their work.
So it's because of this early, we talked about earlier on. Anyways, I understand you. There's a fundamental problem in your sector, and the problem has to do with apprentices. A lot of them are retiring. And we're seeing that right now, the younger generation are not interested in taking over the baton from them. They either want to go into tech, or the ones that are not even going into tech, they're going to the other side of tech, which is fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing what is happening. People are no longer, there's a common lingua they call freedom. Mm. You hardly see freedom celebration.
Yes.
Because these younger generation, the Gen Zs, are not interested in those professions.
Yes.
And it's not because the profession is bad, it's because of the way it's been branded.
Exactly.
I think so, my personal opinion. So a plumber in the US sees plumbing as a career path.
Yes.
But a plumber here sees it as, oh boy, I don't want to end up becoming like you get, because of the brandings it's gotten. So you see less people with people with the actual skill set who are excellent at their job. You hardly see them. And the few who are excellent, they are biting more than they can chew, and so they are not able to meet up with delivery. It's causing a lot of an imbalance in your sector.
Yes.
And what's the way forward?
I don't know if you've seen any Kung Fu movie where maybe a foreigner came to learn Kung Fu in order to, you know, continue on his hero's journey. When he says, I want to learn how to fight, the master will say, go and fetch water. Mop the floors.
Karate
Kid. Do you understand? While that is to the benefit of the
master,
he's killing two birds with one stone. And that's one thing that we as people don't believe, that two truths, two things can be true at the same time. I'm using you, but you're learning. A lot of people don't want to believe that. They'll be like, why is this Oga won't use what kill me? Do you understand? That's why a lot of people, sometimes they don't want to go through the process. We have a lot of artisans on site that they didn't do freedom because they ran away before freedom. There's a part of the employer too that is overusing them. Do you understand? But a major reason when you drill down is because they are not ready to put their foot down and learn. Now, I also blame the fact that why learn from one guy when you can learn from so many people through school? We don't have technical schools, or the ones that we do. I don't know anyone. You understand? If there was a technical school where you say, I want to go and learn bricklaying, if this lecturer this trainer is not nice to me, at least I can report him to this thing that is wala is too much, and we are all plenty, and we can all prove that this guy's wala is too much. So they replace him with somebody that will teach us but won't stress us. Just like when I was in 200 level and one lecturer was always stretching his classes to 10 p.m. We had to make a case that some people don't live on campus. We have to go home. You understand? That would not happen if that was my only teacher. And another thing is, there is no teacher that can know everything about the profession, which is another problem. A lot of the guys that learned from the colonizers, most of them are retired or dead. The ones that are left are the people that learned from those people and they did not learn how to teach. So they might know, but they are terrible at teaching. So at the end of the day, the product we are getting even from apprenticeship is not as good.
So the first generation apprentices are the best, because they learned from the colonizers.
Yes. They brought that tradition of perfection, diligence, you know, with their job. But the ones that are out there now, it's better to say, I only charge 5,000 for this trading, even if my mates are charging 4,500. But I promise you that I'm going to deliver on my project. Yes, some people will say no, they can't pay more than 4,500. But most people that value good work will say, let me pay. And that should keep you where you are. And when there is a job you are doing and you have another job, you can negotiate with your clients. If you can wait for me till next week, I'll finish this one and I'll come to you. But no. Ah.
But for a country that has 200 million people, this shouldn't be an issue. 200 million and above people, this shouldn't be an issue. Let's go to let's look at El Salvador. What they are doing with there's this gang in El Salvador called M16. They were wrecking havoc.
Yeah.
Then now he rounded up, put them inside jail. He's now using them to do this menial, low skilled job, or this skilled job, plumbing, road construction, and everything. We have youths on Oshodi roads that every day they are high on drugs. We have youths in the prisons. Why can't we not rehabilitate them now to start taking up construction job? China does it. I beg to differ. There's a company that does road construction, and a mentor of mine was telling me that 80% of their staffs that are working on those road constructions are prisoners in China. Once they go back, the government pays them. They take half. They keep half. One of the ways we could get more skilled labor in the construction industry is from our prisons and from people that don't want to engage. If I see you loitering the streets, I will pick you up. I will take you to where you learn these skills. Then I'll start paying you. That way, the governors can open an artisan sector that can supply, okay, these people have learned 6 months, 1 year. We have brought in the best tutors to teach them. Oh, you want to build a house? Okay, go to the prison, bring 5,000 people, pay them after you finish. That way, they earn money from themselves while being inside the prison system. I feel Nigeria created an environment where everybody can just be in.
I think what he's saying now, his structure. There's a lot of structure to that, and that's what we lack.
You know one thing? Corruption in Nigeria is retail. In developed countries, it's wholesale. You need a whole lot of money to access corruption. Other than that, the system is going to just work. But in Nigeria, you run a red light, corruption sets in. You flout a law, then that law that was created in both spirit and, you know, intention, somebody will just deem it at that point irrelevant for 50k. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So for that reason, if we can fix that as a country, because our leadership is a lagging representation of our people. If today my brother becomes a minister, if he doesn't find me a job, it's not allowed at family meeting. That's the way it is. And that is the way we are in this country. And for that reason, things cannot work. If a minister steals 500 million, you know what the average Nigerian will say? At least he's still better than that guy that stole 20 billion. As if because he stole 500,000 is now a less crime. Or somebody in power that is your family member enter and you're like, I don't blow. There was something that was popular on Twitter, I think a few years ago, that they gave a road contract to somebody at Oyinbo, and the name on the contractor had small chops inside. Something, something, small chops. And we were wondering, how is this company, how were they able to go through the screening process to getting a job? It was so lax that the guy didn't even have to create the company to, you know, find the job. He used his small chops business to get the job. That's how bad we are. As a people, I won't say the government now, because even those with little power, your principal, the nurse at the hospital, you know, even the bus conductor, everybody is trying to, you know, I pass my neighbor in every point there. So if that happens everywhere, how do you expect as a country to say we want to fix our problems of, you know, seeing your neighbor and you're like, this guy could be my son. This guy could be my brother. I shouldn't do this because it doesn't benefit this person. I'm only not looking out for myself. So for all those things, I feel we need, if we can fix, we can't fix this generation again.
I told Franco. Franco is
if we can work on our schooling system, our education system, in the next 15 years, when the zero children become 15, there will be a lot of difference. You'll be able to tell your father that, daddy, this thing you are doing, it doesn't make sense. You understand? Nigerian way is to beat the charisma out of the child. This boy, you are too distant. I'm going to beat it out of you. And when you now start doing bad things, the audio is looking at it, what will I now do? Because that's the person you have become. So I feel like if we want to do that as a people, let us, you know, better also can never mean better for everybody. That is one thing that we need to understand. If it's better for the masses, it won't be great for the 1%. And it's the 1% that have the power. And another thing I need to see is Nigerian
but
people...
But two truths can happen at the same time.
Nigerian people, we see our leadership as kings. We don't see them as politicians. Because why else would you... Why else would you tell me that government is bad, but at least they even helped us in their mercy, gave us 5,000 naira, and they just told us that they want our vote. What is the vote, safe? We'll give them, at least they gave us 5,000. Not realizing that that vote is your power that you should not let go of. And I feel like as a country, we need to fix that. And it still comes to our education. If you can correct our syllabus with all this rubbish that we are doing, that will never... There are a lot of things I've never thought about from when I was in school that doesn't benefit me now. Industry education fit is nothing. You come out of school, you... At what point did they teach us how to use Microsoft Office? At what point did they teach us to prepare a proposal so that when you are going to a company and they ask you, okay, prepare a proposal that we're going to send to X company, you'll be able to know. What you know is a
formal letter.
Or class of animal. You know, I'm really fighting with biology here.
Homeschooling is the way forward?
It will not be possible because we too, we are too busy trying to feed our family to have time to train these children. It's not possible. Most homes now, if the wife stops working, they are in trouble. The wife is supplementing income with buying clothes for the children, buying uniform, while the father is out there looking for school fees. So it's not possible. It's not easy. The best you can do, you work, you go out, you work. Let's assume you live on the mainland and you work on the island. You leave your house at 5:30 to evade traffic. You get to work, you are sleeping. So you sleep small before 8 o'clock. Then work starts at 8. You close at 5, but you can't leave at 5 because there's traffic. Now you wait till 9 o'clock. You get home at 10. Your child has slept. The next morning. So it's only on Saturday that your children even know you're in the house. So how do you as a man want to impact or impart knowledge into your child? You go, what do you know? You're always tired. So I feel like if we as a people, in the little time we have, and not complaining. Is it Parkinson's law, they call it? Work would always fill the amount of space allotted to it.
Yeah, true.
If we can take time, maybe lunch breaks, weekends, you know, sometimes you have to offend a few family members. You cannot attend their parties because you are busy trying to build yourself. You understand? Because when you actually do build yourself, you can send them money for forgiveness. You understand? So, if you are able to take that time and develop yourself a bit more, and not be a type of person that if the government wants to, or if the company wants to downsize now, you are one of the people they downsize because your job was not actually relevant. They were just maintaining you for the past 3 years. So if you build yourself to that level where you are like, oh girl, they are offering me 700,000 there. This 400,000 you are paying me doesn't make sense again. Carry yourself and you go. They don't answer you. At that 700, they are building for 1 million. I know somebody that during lockdown, they learned finance, they learned accounting, they learned sales and marketing. And they went from 180,000 naira job between 2021 to 1.8 million in 2023. The job hopped like 4 times because they were creating value and those people needed those values.
Yeah, I think I'm a perfect example of building yourself. Before we say, let me just give a reference. I think my cinema job was 150 a year and 150 a month. Then a year 1.8 million. Then I left. I went to, you know my story now, went to the south part, study how to create business online and how to market it online. Then the check, I was still earning the same 150, but my cost was minimal because they put me in an apartment and I have to just work and the rest. Then the check I got when I left that place after 2 years was more or less like,
don't say the figure, LIRS is watching.
Yes, more or less like a big shift.
Yeah,
that changed my whole life, and it was a bit more bigger exposure. So yeah, working on yourself is
the greatest form of investment. Is personal development.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's investment in yourself. And Warren Buffett, he always says that he's one of the foremost investors in the world.
Yes.
He will say, invest in yourself first, and the rest will just be history. There's no need to over strategize or do this market. When you invest in yourself, those things will come by default.
By default.
Exactly. Pulling it rather than pursuing it. I remember when we talked about what we're going to be talking about, you said that you rather run towards wealth than run from poverty. So it's a mind shift. Rather than running away from poverty, if you're running away from poverty, you think survival. If you're pursuing wealth, you think what? Value. You think
abundance.
Value. And that's like the way forward. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say, we need to have a part two of this. We need to have a part two of this, Mr. Folajimi. I want to say a very, very big thank you for coming to the Frankly Business Podcast. It's been a great conversation, great time. Kelechi, what do you have to tell the people, your people?
We keep growing. Our community is getting bigger and stronger. I say that with a smile because I'm in charge of distributing this content all over the whole place. So the numbers have been good. But like, follow, share to a friend. Like I said, our goal is just one thing. Make business education and self-development accessible and affordable. I'm tired of people selling courses. I'm really tired of people selling courses. Why we should give it out for free?
Before we go, we have a template. You tell us who you want to be on the Frankly Business Podcast. You talk about somebody and you also ask the person a question. Mm. So when we get the person, that'll be the first question we'll ask the person.
Let me think. I have a weird one.
Okay, please do.
Next person I would like you to invite to this podcast,
yes,
is DJ Copy.
DJ Copy, okay, yes. Interesting.
And the reason I ask, or the question I want to ask,
yeah,
is simple. How do you thrive among so much hate?
Oh, wow.
That's peculiar.
How do you
thrive? I'm still learning.
Yeah.
It still gets to me sometimes when somebody reaches out or somebody, you know, talks to me and they talk to me so much.
Online.
I hate this guy. What's this guy doing? You know, I know it doesn't make sense. I know I shouldn't care.
Yeah.
But it still hits a nerve. But, hey, she does it effortlessly. And I need to learn.
I didn't know there was so much hate on her page.
So much hate. Investigate. You find out yourself.
When she made a mistake on gelato, she made a video about it. I mean, she made a song about it. First, taking what people don't like and now putting it in their face like your father. Do you understand? Then people said the song did not make sense. Now you talk now. Do you understand? So I feel like she can come share a story. Definitely to be out of touch because she's in the 1%. But there's
1%
still,
of the 1%.
Exactly. But there's still a few things that we can pick from, you know, her journey, how she got there.
Okay.
And you know, our struggles that might not be peculiar to us. I intend to be a billionaire soon. So I'm sure there's a few things to learn from another billionaire.
DJ Copy, you've heard from Folajimi. And he is saying that, how have you been able to thrive despite the entire hate around you? I think that's something we need to learn. Now, you're definitely going to come to this chair and tell us about that. And also talk about the business of DJing. And perhaps There's a business to it. There's a business side of it that we're not seeing because you're getting a couple of deals. And come on, maybe this is where you're going to unravel all of those. It's a great time. I'll see you next episode. Keep liking, keep sharing, and join the Growth Hub community. The Growth Hub community across all social media platforms. Click on our link and join. I'll see you on the other side of the next episode. Cheers.